Okay, so for my grown-ups, what word did we bury?
Hallelujah.
Are we allowed to use it during the season of Lent? It's highly discouraged, right? We will use it on what day? Easter, because we are on this journey of 40 days and 40 nights through the wilderness when the Spirit led Jesus out in preparation for his ministry. And so now as we prepare to hear Holy Scripture this morning, I invite you to pray. The prayer of illumination is found in your bulletin or on the screen. Let us pray. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of the Holy Spirit, that as your scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. So our scripture this week is a parable that many of you have probably heard before, but it comes from the Gospel of Luke from the 10th chapter, verses 25 through 27. Hear now these words. Just then, a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, what is written in the law? What do you read there? And the lawyer answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said to him, you have given the right answer. Do this, and you will live. But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? So Jesus replied, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers, who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now, by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, also passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you have spent. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? And the lawyer said, the one who showed him mercy. And Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God for it. Will you pray with me? Gracious and holy God, as we journey through the wilderness with Jesus, our focus this season are on the social injustices in the world and how your word, your teaching through the parables can help shape and form us into faithful witnesses of your truth in the world. So may these words and my reflections and the collective meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So as I mentioned, we will be reading a parable each week focusing on justice issues. So one of the first things that I want to draw your attention to is the inside of your bulletin. This is going to be a tangible way for you to respond to what you have heard today. You don't need to do it right now because I'd really like you to pay attention to the sermon, right? But for now, just know that you will have homework. I think Pastor Amy asked the kids, do you have homework? And yes, you do. So just keep that in mind. And because we're focusing on the parables, something that I want to share is the first 4 verses before this passage. When we come to Scripture, we are invited to not only read what we are focusing on, but also read before and read after. How does this text fit into a bigger narrative? And here is what has happened. Now, you may remember that Jesus is in the midst of his ministry, and he sent out 70 disciples, two by two, to proclaim and prepare for the good news. And they all came back. And it was at that hour that Jesus rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, and who the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." Then turning to his disciples, Jesus said to them privately, "Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings desired to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, and did not hear it." That was the preamble to this conversation between a lawyer and Jesus. And sometimes we hear this parable and we know it as the parable of the Good Samaritan, right? And we know that the Good Samaritan is often a term used to consider those who do charitable works and care for communities. You may have organizations, hospitals, all named the Good Samaritan. And I'm going to argue today that yes, we know this parable as the Good Samaritan. Our focus today is on this relationship between the lawyer and Jesus. So as we journey to the cross, we know that there were quite a few people who were very displeased with what Jesus was doing everywhere. Right? That he was going to these places, he was going into the synagogues, he was reading and opening up scripture in new ways. We saw this. They're like, how is this possible that he can speak with such authority, not knowing fully that he was the Son of God, imbibed with the Holy Spirit, and proclaiming a new word to the people? And there were groups that did not want Jesus to succeed in this. We know it was the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes and the Zealots and the Essenes. There were these factions of people who were really challenged because Jesus's teaching and ministry was upturning the way they lived their everyday lives, right? Do any of you like it when someone comes in and tells you, "You're not doing it the way I want you to do it"? No? Well, I'm looking, well, Miss Kathy's not in here, but she was basically told she didn't pack the dishwasher correctly, and she is permanently excused from doing that. Because the person who claimed that said, "He'll take care of it." So, Rick, we love you. But I know for me, I do the same thing. I'll tell my kids, "You didn't pack the dishwasher correctly." Or, you know, "I meant for you to take the trash out, not set the bag by the door. Like, take it out of the can, walk it all the way outside, put it into the outer can, close the lid, come back in, put a new bag in." You see where I'm going with this? But this is more important. It wasn't just the household chores. It was how people engaged in the real world every single day. That this was a Jewish community that would have known the scriptures very clearly, very well, would have worshiped and been faithful, going to the temple to make their offerings and to pay homage to God. And in those scriptures that bound them together as a unique group of people under God, they would have known from Deuteronomy that they shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul. And then from Leviticus that you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And all of that framed how they were meant to work with each other to care for the widows, to care for the orphans, to make sure that people had the basic needs, that there were none who were uncared for. This community of care and showing up for one another. And so you know, we think about, oh, well, this is a charitable kind of conversation, right? Until you look at the lawyer. Because having seen Jesus pray and rejoice and, you know, really is going to kind of dig in a little bit and say, teacher, which one of these is the greatest commandment, right? So first of all, he was using a term of addressing to Jesus that minimized his position compared to his own, right? And so, you know, so kind of pitting against each other I'm the lawyer. I know these texts inside and backwards, and you as the teacher, what can you offer to this, right? So he's already posturing himself to be set apart from Jesus. And Jesus flips the question. If any of you have kids and they ask you a question, easiest way is to just ask them the same question back. You know, be like, why is the sky blue? I don't know. Why do you think the sky is blue? And they'll come up with a response, right? So Jesus flips this question back to the lawyer and says, well, what do you say it is? And that's when the lawyer, you know, responds with the Deuteronomy and the Leviticus, and Jesus says, you're absolutely right. Go and do this, and you shall inherit eternal life. Instead of walking away and accepting this word from Jesus, the lawyer digs a little bit more. Jesus, who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? And so that is when Jesus gives this parable. And we hear of different characters. And in one of our Bible studies, we kind of talked about this road from Jerusalem to Jericho, that it would have been a 17-mile trek down a very steep mountain climb, rocky, dangerous, lots of curves and twists, a journey not taken lightly but would have taken a long time. And it's in that setting, right, that we hear the story of someone who is robbed and beaten and left on the side of the road. And then you have the priest who sees that person and chooses to walk across on the other side. Then you have a Levite who chose to walk along the other side. And then you have a Samaritan. Now, he's not referred to as the good Samaritan in this text. He's referred to as the Samaritan, indicating where he came from and his relationship into the community. And Samaritans were very much outside of the Jewish community. They were despised greatly. And so to have this Samaritan recognize the victim on the ground, you know, took care, and that's where we tend to focus, right, on that caretaking aspect of loaded him up on the donkey, made sure his expenses were paid for, went back. And I know for me, some of the times is I am really hard on the priest and the Levite for walking by. Because they were very informed of what it means to care based on this community, right? They knew that they were supposed to care for the widows, the orphans, the ones in need. It was part of the DNA of the Jewish community. So why did they walk on the other side of the street? And then we start to justify, right? Well, the priest, knowing if they had touched this person, if that person was dead, they would become unclean and would need to go through the practices to become clean again in order to be in the temple and doing the religious duties of a priest. And that risk may have been too much, right? Be like, I don't know if that person is alive or not, and I shall go on the other way. And the Levite, probably similarly, was tasked with a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to participate in temple practices, and also, had he touched this person, would have been unable to do those things and would not have been able to do it, right? And then that's when we have the Samaritan who comes in. So what does this mean for us? Because sometimes we say, well, it's an example of Christian care and community. However, when we attach Good Samaritan, it's almost undermining the first century understanding of this text. Like, we don't say, well, you were a good police officer, or you were a good librarian, or you were a good Christian, or you were a good fill in the blank. Because what that means is, if this one is good, who is not good? Does that make sense? And so it would have been so strange if first century Jews heard Jesus say Good Samaritan, because Samaritans were not good. It would have been crazy making to say that. So Jesus is pushing this text and trying to get this lawyer to understand, and shows out, and probably I could imagine that the lawyer, and I'm no offense to any attorneys in this space, but like considering every angle to the story, right? Like breaking it down and looking at all the pieces and weighing, you know, who's in the right, who's in the wrong, and what is the best response to this question that Jesus has posed. And instead of naming one of the characters in this parable, the lawyer says, the one who showed mercy. And Jesus said, yes, go and do likewise, and you will inherit eternal life. The lawyer was not intending a lesson on what it means to show mercy to someone you disagree with. And Jesus flips the script on him, pointing us to a couple of things to think about. What does this text tell us about God? What does this tell us about ourselves? And what does this tell us about the relationship between God and ourselves? Well, one, it shows us that God is a God of mercy, that God cares for all persons, and will do whatever is necessary to make sure that the arc points to justice and reconciliation. And Jesus is the instrument to make that happen. What does it tell us about ourselves? Do we ever find ourselves saying, is that really what you meant, Jesus? Is that really what you're asking me to do? Is that really what this life is supposed to look like? I'm using I language because I wrestle with those things. We as a community wrestle with those same questions. Is this what God is asking of us? Is this what a faithful life can look like? Where are those places where we may need to step outside of our circles into uncomfortable situations in order to be part of God's redemptive work in the world? And what does it tell us about this relationship between God and ourselves? There is much work still to do. That all the places of injustice have not yet been fully realized. God is still working and is a God of mercy who loves us enough to not leave us as we are. So in light of this text and flipping it upside down and looking at this relationship, I wonder if that lawyer didn't walk away scratching his head and saying, I don't know what to do with this. Can I do that? Because there are multiple incidences throughout Scripture where Jesus basically lays it out on the line and says, this is what is being asked of you. And for some, the cost is too high, and they choose a different path. And sometimes for us, we have to say, is the cost too high for this? And make that choice of, are we going to be faithful? Are we going to be attuned to the needs in the world? That's what Lent is about. To think about those places where we need God to work in and through our lives and show us what this means and how to receive the gift of eternal life. Where are those places where God is inviting us to be part of what God is already doing in the world? So today, this week, your homework is to read this parable again and to really ask, where is your circle of influence? Who do you engage with? Who are you challenged by? Because that might be a place of growth for you. And so you're going to be invited to reflect and think and say, I may not fully agree with that person or where they are, but I probably promise you they don't agree with you either. So we're going to be invited to pray that some of that reconnection work can happen, but it starts with your own spirits, your own inner working of recognizing, Jesus, maybe what you're asking of me isn't too much, because your grace and mercy is more than sufficient to give me this opportunity of a full life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.